From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December 28th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is hour one of two. Our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we reject revolution but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth using the supreme law of the land. Absolutely, the checks and balances put in place by the founding fathers, brilliant, and the great solutions to our peaceful restoration. Are you going to help us? Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're all doing absolutely fantastic. It's been a long time since we've been live. Last time we were live, what, last Friday, Kurt, I think it was? And took a break for the Christmas holiday. Got sicker than a dog just before Christmas. And I've been sick as could be ever since. So first day back, hope things go well. Hope I have the energy for all this. But man, there's so much news the networks refuse to use. We got to get to, got to get a rolling ASAP on that. Speaking of that, let's find out, you know, how much taxpayer money are we really paying for Christmas parties, for partying, for the, you know, what, bureaucrats on the dole? You'd say, Sam, what do you mean on the dole? There's a legitimate role for public officials to serve and to get paid for their work and all that. I agree. But at what point should they be able to have a Christmas party? On whose dime? How should it all work out? Well, anyway, Kurt found an article from KSL and breaks it down. Kurt?
Well, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. The headline reads, how much taxpayer money are Utah cities spending on holiday parties? And it says the National Retail Federation says on average that families are going to spend $900 on presents. Maybe
right.
A little
spend
more.
Did you spend $900, Kurt?
I don't remember that, but I suppose.
Well, where are you on the average? Are you way above, way below? You know, you got a big family. You're probably above that, right? You got to count your wife too. You can't just count you.
That's right. That's right. I don't know, Sam. But they say the KSL investigators, KSL investigators wondering how much of your money pays for government workers to attend holiday parties. So they looked at the records and they got 10 of the largest city and county governments. Showed that Utah taxpayers spent $266,000 on what's called holiday parties for government workers since back in 2014. The records showed government spent thousands on food, gift cards, and rental fees for their employees, and in some cases, their families. Now, way down at the end of the story, it says this little phrase. It says,
hold on, this vitally important factual phrase.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
It says, for context, all of these holiday parties represented only a sliver of each government's multi-million dollar budget. Then it says, but Utah bars state agencies from spending tax dollars for Christmas parties. The federal government also has a similar ban in place, and it says if its employees want to host a holiday party, they must pay for it themselves. So you see that after you read about, just ongoing spending of all these different cities, a whole bunch of them, and you go, well, now you KSL investigators, what are you going to do about it, you know?
Well, when you say the KSL investigators, what are they going to do about it? There's not much they can do. Same thing with about us reporting on it to support them. What are we going to do about it? It's what are the people going to do about it?
Right.
It's our job to report and to focus on the facts. Here's the facts. You ready?
Right.
The fact is Utah bars state agencies from spending tax dollars for Christmas parties. Now, listen, the federal government also has a similar ban in place.
Yep.
So what does that mean, Kurt? Does that mean it's illegal, or does that just mean they don't like
them doing
it?
I suppose that if they say Christmas parties, that's probably why they call these holiday parties, Sam, so that they can get around that little, you know.
No wonder they're so anti-Christmas.
Good point. Yeah, that's right.
But what does it mean when they say they bar them? That just means they like, you know, it's kind of like a wink, wink, and a nod, nod, or what?
What it means in most of our, you know, real world is that you're not supposed to do it. But, you know, you sure don't see cities, agreeing to that, do you? You know, they talk about, at least in some cases, one of them, they talk about how they spent more and now they're spending less. But as far as I can see, the story says the state law bars, or in other words, says, hey, none of that. But I've really never seen any city, you know, go to court or get put in jail for any of this, you know, or any of those.
What they ought to do is just decrease the budget by the amount of the Christmas party every year.
Well, that seems like that's what you do.
But, you know, what do you expect, right? I don't expect any change.
In some cases, they had buffets that featured chicken cordon bleu, stuffed pork loin, lasagna, and fajitas. They were really cutting back at its tough times there. You know what I mean, Sam? But I would say in one or two cases, I noticed they said, if we're going to have a party, people just got to bring their own stuff. And I thought, now that's the kind of party you're supposed to do. Don't make the poor taxpayers ante up for your Christmas or holiday.
Now, see
party.
How they'll pitch this, though, is you're just a Scrooge, Kurt.
Yeah, I know, Sam.
You just don't think government officials ought to ever be able to have any party or any good time.
Have a party on their own dime.
Yeah, there you go. Kind of a strange idea, isn't it? And to me, the problem is, you know, hey, having a little party is not a big deal. The problem is it's against the law, Kurt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay, I get that partying is not a big deal. In fact, I recommend everybody has a Christmas party, Kurt. But I don't recommend breaking the law in doing so. See, what does it mean when it says that there? What's that word they use?
Utah law bars.
Bars that. That's the law, folks. It's not Sam. It's not Scrooge. It's not Christmas party. It's the law.
The law.
Okay, and you know what? Yeah. We run around talking about how we uphold the law in America. And, you know, that's the law. And these guys just run around going, you guys are racist, or you guys are Scrooges, or you guys are whatever. What about the law, folks?
That's right.
I think that's really important to kind of point out here, is the law.
Yep.
Now, I think that there's a few, you know, maybe the bigwigs, most of these people get paid big money in government. Did you know about 20% of the government makes over six figures, Kurt?
Well, you know, it's tough times over there.
Those guys could, you know, toss in a couple of, you know, management level and above could toss in a couple of bucks a person. You know, throw in $500 a person. Before you know it, you'd have a party for the mere underlings, right? That's cool.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem with that. You know, but the problem is that really they ought to be doing parties instead of with their government cohorts. They ought to have parties with maybe people at their church, maybe their families, maybe their neighborhood, or, you know, what I mean is there's a lot, maybe their bowling group or whatever. And there's a lot of ways to go to a Christmas party with a colleague that works in the private sector. There's a lot of ways to go to a party. Do you have to have a government party? Does just every entity have to have a party, Kurt?
No, they don't have to.
Especially when it's against the law.
It seems like when they're partying, they like to party on our dime. You know?
And they like to, you know, spend plenty of bucks.
Yeah.
On our dime. I mean, it's big money. Thousands and thousands of dollars.
Great point.
See, because the private sector usually reins in the cost on a lot of those kind of things. As far as I understand it, you know, for some businesses I work for, when they have parties, what happens is they have somebody put together an idea of a party, and then they kind of put together a little bit of a budget of what it's going to be costing, and then somebody goes and gets the budget approved, and then they look at it and say, you know, it's a little expensive. Let's do this instead. Maybe we'll, instead of having three entrees at the, you know, buffet, let's have two, or instead of getting the extra something, let's do this, or wait, do you think we could throw it at our office instead of at the whatever, you know, place? And or sometimes they're like, you know, and they make these decisions. That's the oversight that government lacks in everything that it does, including having a party. All right, Tomi Lahren's in the news with something. It's a little funny, but it's a little too serious to be funny. We'll talk about that in seconds. Sam McCurt, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, it's delivered in a funny style, Kurt.
Well, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. I rarely, at family events, get the, I guess you could say, kind of invitation to talk about well, some of these items we talk about here on Liberty Roundtable. But it happened, and, you know, somebody brought it up there. And so then they mentioned that they had, watched a certain thing, you know, this little piece that we're going to bring you, the audio from this little piece, about, what's this lady's name again, Sam?
Tomi. Lahren. You don't know who this person is. You research that and we'll play it. How's that?
Well, I didn't know it all, but, you know, this is an individual from what's called Fox News, you know. To me, this is an example of, you know, the new media taking center stage. Even though this individual's from Fox News, then it's kind of basically a little podcast kind of thing. And this individual is very close to me.
Kurt?
I think some was, yeah, Sam, and, sure. You know, anyway, this is a young lady who, you know, has some, certain feelings, at least, you know, she displays them about some real, you know, I guess you could say hot issues, and so here's the audio from that piece.
It's time for a special Christmas edition of Final Thoughts, and it may be winter, but it's still melting season, snowflake melting season, that is. Uh-oh, have I already offended you? Well, a new survey by a British insurance firm found 72% of 16 to 24-year-olds believe the term snowflake is unfairly applied to millennials. 74% of respondents took it a step farther, arguing they believe the use of the label could have a negative effect on young people's mental health. And that, my friends, is special snowflake syndrome at its finest. So what is a snowflake? Well, allow me to explain. If you occupy the streets in protest more frequently than you occupy a shower or a job, you're a snowflake. If you've convinced yourself that despite any actual evidence, Russia somehow stole the election from Hillary, you are a snowflake. If your favorite arts and crafts projects consist of knitting pink hats in the shape of reproductive organs or scribbling resist on cardboard signs, you are a snowflake. If choosing between two gender options seems unfair to you, you are a snowflake. If you demand a safe space from conservative speakers but think it's perfectly acceptable to burn and smash up your own campus in protest, you are a snowflake. A violent snowflake, but a snowflake nonetheless. If you think you, by virtue of being born, deserve a participation trophy, you are a snowflake. If you think someone else should pay for your college education, you are a snowflake. There is no such thing as free. It's not free if your neighbor pays for it. If you think borders, walls, and immigration laws are mean, you are a snowflake. If recognizing the Islam and radical Islamic terrorism offends you, you are a snowflake. If you think an AR-15 is a military assault rifle, you are a snowflake. If you've never bought, shot, or touched a firearm, but insist you are an expert on gun policy, you are a snowflake and terribly misinformed. And if the American flag and national anthem offend you, you are a snowflake, and you should take your snowflake booty and relocate it to another country since you clearly don't appreciate this one. If a simple Christmas greeting sends you into a PC orbit, you are a snowflake. And last but not least, if you are more concerned with what our president tweets than the great things he's doing for jobs, GDP, the stock market, border, and national security, you are for dang sure a snowflake. It's time to wake up and realize you are special to your parents, not anyone else. You need to get over the notion that the worst thing that can happen to you is hurt feelings. If you sit back and wait for someone to offend you, you're not living a very full or productive life. Dry your tears, accept reality, and get to work. If you don't like the way your life is going, change it. Life is tough. Get a helmet. Those are my final thoughts. From L.A., God bless, and Merry Christmas.
Whoa, she even ends with a Merry Christmas. You know, we don't agree with Tomi on everything.
She says God bless, you know, yeah.
Glenn Beck got in a big old argument with her, and I can't even remember what issue it was. It was about abortion or gays or something. And so, you know, I don't know everything about her, but that was kind of a little bit tongue-in-cheek and kind of funny. But again, you got these terms that most of us don't even know what they mean, right?
Good point.
And there is a term called a snowflake out there, and it's, you know, they create these labels that attack everybody. I mean, you know, Kurt Crosby, Sam Bushman, we're white supremacists, right, Kurt?
Well, yeah, that's what
their
say,
lie. That's their claim. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what's funny. I don't know if you know, but Congresswoman, I use this term quite loosely, Congresswoman. What is her name? Sheila Jackson Lee?
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, she, I guess, boarded a United airline, and she always demands, she's like the queen, and she demands that she gets a special seat. And so they kicked this dude off of her seat. And then this guy eventually found out that it was her and got mad because I guess she has a pattern of doing this. And so then she called him a racist. But the problem is he's Hispanic and she's black. And how does all that work? And anyway, now there's a big old to-do about her using this race card, claiming that anybody who opposes her for any reason is a racist, Kurt.
Wow.
So my headline calls her the ultimate racist.
Good point.
What's more racist than calling everybody a racist, Kurt?
Well, it seems that that would be the case.
Well, it's not even true, for example. Mm-hmm. Well, look, this guy's not a racist. He just thought it was wrong that she should use privilege as a congresswoman.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that guy?
Good point.
All right. Well, I don't know if this is racist or not, but we're going to talk about children. We're going to talk about increased IQ scores and better sleep for children. Kurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sam, you know, imagine these things being connected. sleep, IQ, and et cetera.
Now, they usually talk about IQ when it comes to race, that this race has a better IQ than that race and all that kind of stuff. The cool part about this story is it didn't have anything to do with race. It just said that it increases IQs of children, Kurt. Imagine doing something like that.
That is amazing, isn't it?
It's kind of cool if you ask me.
The something called MedicalExpress.com is where this piece comes from, and I just didn't know this was the case, but the headline reads, weekly fish consumption linked to better sleep, higher IQ. That's what this study finds, and University of Pennsylvania smack dab in the middle of this, and I guess they found that children who eat fish at least once a week sleep better and have IQ scores that are 4 points higher on average than those who consume fish less frequently or not at all. That's according to new findings from the University of Pennsylvania published, well, in what's called Scientific Reports, and that's a Nature journal. Just one more thing, I don't really read much. But anyway, they say previous studies showed a relationship between omega-3s, that's the fatty acids in many types of fish, they say, and improved intelligence, as well as omega-3s and better sleep. Now they say they've never all been connected before. But this work that's now conducted by, well, I'd like to say his name or her name, but anyway, some Jinghong Liu, Jennifer Pinto Martin, and Alexandra Hanlon of the School of Nursing and Penn Integrates Knowledge Professor Adrian Rain, they all reveal that sleep as a possible mediating pathway, the potential missing link between fish and intelligence. So, hey, you want to get smarter? Eat more fish, looks like to me.
But Kurt, they don't say white people or black people or anything. They just say, you know, they use children in their study, but I assume, Kurt, it applies to everybody.
Well, they had 541 9 to 11-year-olds, and this was in China. 54% of them were boys, 46% of them were girls, and they
that's because they murdered all the girls, and so they don't have enough girls to equal that out. Sorry, guys.
Good point. They completed a questionnaire about how often they consumed fish in the past month. The options were, well, they ranged from never to at least once per week. They also took the Chinese version of an IQ test, and it's called, something else over there, which examines verbal and nonverbal skills such as vocabulary and coding. Now, coding, I think that's that computer stuff, right, Sam? Anyway, the parents then answered questions about sleep quality, and they used standard children sleep habits questionnaire. I didn't know that was a standard, but anyway, the bottom line is,
Kurt, you're
like
not familiar with the sleep habits
fish,
questionnaire.
Sam.
What's wrong with you? You won't do very well on the IQ test, my friend.
That was a week on the IQ test, that's right.
All right, hang tight. Donald did it. $1.5 trillion tax cut did get signed into law before the end of the year. Let's talk about it.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Yeah, so when asked about it, Donald said, I didn't want anybody to think I wasn't going to keep my promise. He said if I would have put off signing the tax bill after the new year, everybody would say I didn't keep my promise that it was before Christmas, so he signed it. I commend him for doing so. And they say it's a $1.5 billion tax or trillion-dollar tax overhaul package, 1.5T. And what, Dave Bratt, Greg Karambos has a couple of articles about this, huh, Kurt? Who's Dave Bratt?
Well, that's right. Now, Dave Bratt is a, member of Congress. And Mr. Bratt, they call him the House Freedom Caucus member. He's a Republican of Virginia in the House, by the way. He says the new law is far better than what he expected to emerge from the congressional negotiations. He said, I was fairly shocked. You know, we typically think of Congress as being filled up with brats, but there's just one brat, you know, real brat that we know of. And this is Dave Bratt. And he says, up in D.C., usually at year end, when you go into conference, I usually don't like the outcome. But in this case, we fixed a lot of the issues. We had a college student loan issue, a graduate student piece. There was a Medicare piece, a small business piece. All of those got major improvements, said Bratt. He admits he wishes the final bill would have called for 3 tax brackets instead of 7. But he says, hey, there's still good news there. He says by rearranging those brackets, they ensured that way more people get a tax cut. A single woman with a child gets over $1,000 back. That's great. He says a family of 4 with 2 kids, married and making $70,000, that's the typical income in my district, he says. They're getting $2,059 back.
By the way, they're making a whole lot more than most folks, though, Kurt.
Yeah, good point. He says the corporate rate goes from 35% to 21%, and it takes place this year. In the Senate plan, they were going to lag that a year. In conference, we fixed it so it goes into place. That's probably the most important piece. He says the stock market has been soaring in anticipation of this bill getting passed. Bratt says another big group of winners are young people looking for work. He says businesses will now be in better position to hire people for good jobs. Well, you know, I agree with him, Sam. I mean, if the businesses aren't getting taxed so much, they'll have a little bit more money to work on that.
Well, whenever you have more money in the family and more money in business, less money in government, it's a good thing.
Yeah. He says, I think the kids I taught for 20 years, I guess he was a school teacher, are going to go out. He says they're going to have multiple job offers and go out and live the American dream. That's the goal of this thing. The kids go out and get good jobs. That's a virtuous cycle. He says, so I'm proud of it. He says, this piece from WorldNet Daily by Greg Carombo says, while Democrats all voted against the bill, claiming Republicans were giving big tax cuts to businesses and rich people at the expense of the middle class, Bratt says the facts prove otherwise. He says the Democrats were just apoplectic. Now, I've heard that word, so I know it. I'm trying to remember. I think it just means, hey, they didn't really offer anything. He says, I've never seen such emotion and misinformation. He says, supposedly raised taxes on the middle class for the rich. They just can't overcome the basic facts, he says. Some Democrats admit that middle-class families will get some tax relief, but suggest the 1,000 or 2,000 in extra income only amounts to a few dollars a day and makes no tangible difference.
Then why are you worried if it's taken out of the hands of government then?
Good point. Mr. Bratt disagrees with that. He says they're making fun of giving back money to lower income folks, which I thought they would applaud.
But I want to say though is if they're really saying it won't make a bunch of difference, then why don't we tentuple it?
Good point.
Let's make sure it makes a real difference, Democrats. Let's go ahead and, you know, increase that. Let's add a couple of zeros behind it, shall we?
Yeah, let's have a war and figure out how to give more money back to the American people. But anyway, back to what Mr. Bratt said. He says that pays for a lot of stuff that families don't currently have. He says the emotional denunciations from the Democrats are designed to distract from their dearth of ideas. He says if you want to reject a hypothesis, you have to offer a better hypothesis, and they don't have that. But anyway.
Who is it? Kevin Brady? Is he a congressman too, Karen?
Yes, he is as well, and he's got some, you know, words to say about it. He basically says Trump, well, made the difference in this whole deal, and he's the House Ways and Means Committee there. Chairman Kevin Brady, Republican out of Texas, who led the tax reform push in the House of Representatives, he told WorldNet Daily and Radio America the key to success on this package was Republicans all starting on the same legislative page. And Brady said the credit for that belongs at the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue. Yep, and that is where the president is. He says President Trump agreed this summer to work with the House and Senate tax writers toward one tax reform approach. He says that really made the difference in his view.
You got two congressmen praising it. You know, that doesn't mean too much just because they are congressmen. Of course, they're going to praise their own work if they're Republicans. However, they're bringing up some very important points about putting money in the hands of taxpayers, about working together on single-issue bills. I know this is a big bill, but I'm just saying that the point that he's getting at is it was a single issue. We all started on the same single page from the start. That's sound advice that we need more of. Now, on the other side of the aisle, folks are melting down. I mean, Rosie absolutely frothed at the mouth, right?
Well, that's right. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi called it the worst piece of legislation ever to come to the House floor. Now, she ought to know about the worst stuff because it seems to me like she brought that before. But then you got Senator Bernie Sanders. They call him the independent of Vermont. I'd call him the socialist from Vermont. But anyway, he predicted it would lead to the deaths of 10,000 Americans each year. So, anyway, Mr. Brady, on the other hand, says, I think they're so obsessed with these things that they've ignored what this really does, which is to get America growing again and get people back on their feet in the economy. Huh. Well, there you go.
All right,
and then
so
he does kind of agree with us. He says, when they talk about the worst piece of legislation, I think most people look at Obamacare. That's the worst piece of legislation that's been approved, getting the individual mandate removed so people have choice about whether they want their that health care is very critical.
Imagine that
choice
kicking in. Mm-hmm. Where's the pro-choice folks when you need them? But Rosie O'Donnell is melting down, Kurt. She literally lashed out at Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, over the GOP tax overhaul. She basically said, do you think your family's proud of you? And then she says, quote, woman, mother, grandmother, sister, daughter, you betrayed us all, she wrote. Wow.
Yeah, and she was actually offering...
ask for forgiveness for your soul.
Yeah, and that's she promised to give $2 million cash. She was trying to get, this is just before the vote, but she was trying to get some more votes against this, you know, tax cut bill. And she, I will say this, you know, you rarely see a Hollywoodite ante up with their own money, at least what I've seen, but she basically offered $1 million towards Collins and Jeff Flake in Arizona if they would just vote against the GOP plan. And she says, if they vote no, I will not. She says, no, I will not kill Americans for the super rich. And then she says, no, SH. She says,
Kurt,
$2 million cash each. She was going to give them.
She and then later said, hey, on Twitter, call me and I'll negotiate the amount. So she was ready to basically increase it. The other interesting thing, though, is can you offer a congressman money to vote certain ways?
I thought that was kind of illegal. But I guess that's what all the lobbyists do anyway.
Well, is somebody going to haul Rosie off to the clink?
I don't see any news stories about that. Do you?
No, that's my point. I just find this so strange. All right, the Department of Justice is in the news. We'll talk about that, too, coming up. Sam and Kurt, hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use always. Men, I've been sick, coming back for the first day. I hope I have enough energy for this. Wow. All right, you are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama, It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, we've told you there's some tricks of the trade when it comes to the news. We've mentioned this over and over and over the last 25 years. We learned it from Chuck Harder. Back in the day, he used to do a radio program called For the People. Great show, by the way. Anyway, Chuck would teach you, hey, if you really want to get the news, what you got to do is you got to read stories upside down. And I don't mean read the news or the words backwards, upside down, weird. What I'm talking about is you got to start at the bottom of the article and read up, not the top of the article and read down. And as Kurt wisely pointed out in this Christmas party story, you know, you got this headline saying how much taxpayer money are Utah cities or, you know, government entities spending on Christmas parties. And they talk about how all these entities spend all this money on Christmas parties. Well, at the very last line of the story, it says Utah bars state agencies from spending tax dollars for Christmas parties. The federal government has a similar ban in place. Well, wow. If the employees want a holiday party, they must pay for it themselves. Now, I look at that. I think, why is that at the bottom of the story? Well, because they don't really want to tell you that part, but they feel like they have to. So what they do is they have this, I don't want to say omission by obscurity, but kind of. Or what they want to do is they want to have, they bury it intentionally to where if you ever call them on it, they can say, what are you talking about? It's in the article. Well, they do the same thing when it comes to who reports news, Kurt. So if they want something to go viral, they just regurgitate it over and over and over in your face all the time, right? I mean, it's just top of the hour, boom, 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 boom. They hammer it to where you just can't ignore it. They put it on the wire so it goes and you find it in 20 newspapers and it's almost identically written. Different name on it, a couple of changed words, maybe a different headline or two. But very, very, very similar, strikingly, eerily similar content in terms of the news copy. When they don't want you to see a story, but they want to say they reported the story, what they do is they somehow end up taking turns reporting things. So if you want a headline to go out, you want to be able to say you reported it. What you do is you put it on the wire so that it's there. I mean, anybody who goes to hunt it down, Kurt, can tell you that it's there. And then what happens is you get one or two, you know, organizations that report it very lightly. They don't repeat it, but they do report it. And that way, if you ever bring something up about it, they can say, what are you talking about? We reported it. It's on the wire. They're treating it as if it's another story, but they're not. They're literally, through obscurity, hiding the reality or making sure that, yes, they reported it, but it never gets traction idea. And so that's the reason that Liberty Roundtable Live and Liberty News Radio is so important. We literally scour the news 24/7. We rely on some of the best news services, Daily Caller, WorldNet Daily, Drudge Report, many others. Newser. To bring you these news tidbits, we gather news from the New York Times, the USA Today, it just goes on and on and on of the newspapers we read and the headlines we hunt for. Well, here's a headline I bet you haven't heard anywhere else. I'm going to tell you the headline. I'm going to kind of articulate what it means. Then I'm going to tell you where we found it. Headline, the DOJ, that's the Department of Justice, opens probe into Bundy prosecutors who hid evidence. All right. So now the Department of Justice is investigating the prosecuting guys that tried to prosecute Ammon Bundy and Ryan and Cliven and Bundy and others. They hid evidence. They lied. They got caught. The judge freaked. They got a mistrial. And now the DOJ is looking into those who did that. Now, first off, I don't know that I trust the DOJ and the FBI to get to the bottom of it in the first place. That's another topic. But, Kurt, you would think this would be top news like it was when the Bundys supposedly, you know, hostily took over this Malheur Wildlife Refuge. It wasn't hostile. They did occupy it. I agree. But you got squatters that occupy all kinds of buildings historically and things like that. This was very mild in comparison. Ammon Bundy never even had a weapon. Aaron Bundy would literally go sit in a gym full of people with his cowboy hat on. I mean, he didn't run or hide or anything. He left the refuge multiple times, okay? He wasn't there forever. He didn't lock himself in with armed barricades or anything of the sort. It just isn't even close to true. So the Department of Justice opens probe into the Bundy prosecutors who literally hid evidence. Now, Kurt, where do you think I got this news story? I'm going to tell you who reported it, but then I'm going to tell you who I'm going to give credit to it for.
All right. I don't know.
You'll never guess, Kurt. It's just too weird. This is my point. They want to release this thing, but they don't want you to really know. E&E News reported it.
Yeah.
Do you know about E&E News, Kurt?
No, never heard of it.
Well, just so you know, E&E News is the one that, you know, by obscurity got this, you know, it's there. You can't say they didn't report it, Kurt. Of course they reported it, my friend. But I got the details from the Daily Caller who, you know, wrote an article talking about E&E News reporting this. So you got E&E News, the Daily Caller, to Liberty Roundtable Live, Liberty News Radio. Okay, but go search for it, though. Just type in DOJ Bundy prosecutor. And what do you get? I mean, there's not a lot on this thing. But you got to know exactly what to type for. You got to really hunt for news on this or you don't even ever know about it. That's exactly the way they want it, folks. They don't want you to know that it's against the law for governments to throw Christmas parties, but it is. They don't want you to know that DOJ Bundy prosecutor. I'm just going to type that into Google, see what I get here. The Daily Caller has it first, Kurt. Mm-hmm. Attorney General Jeff Sessions orders investigation after Bundy mistrial. New York Times has it, or NY Times has a piece on it. You see, though, Kurt, you have this, but you would never be able to find it. But they did report it. What gives? Thing. You got Citizens Journal that has it.
Mm-hmm.
Very strange. Very strange. Anyway, I think it's good news that somebody's trying to get to the bottom of it. I'm worried about where it's going, though. I think we need an outside investigator. Because, you know, the Department of Justice, they don't really administer justice. They're the ones that kind of helped Hillary get off the hook, right, Kurt?
That's what I understand.
All right, I got another worry. Headlines say this. Mm-hmm. Since Inauguration Day, Mr. Rupert Murdoch has talked regularly with Donald Trump, often bypassing the White House Chief of Staff, General John Kelly, who screens incoming calls, Kurt. And Mr. Murdoch has weekly conversations with Mr. Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor, Jared Kushner. Trump now counts Mr. Murdoch as one of his, quote, closest confidants. What do you think about that, Kurt? Are you comfortable with that kind of... Well, Murdoch's the Fox News guy, right?
Yep.
Now, is it right that the Fox News guy can just simply, when the call screener, John F. Kelly, the general, you know, oh, Rupert, no problem. I'm going to patch it right through, buddy. Hold on. You know, what does that do to the news when one reporter gets that kind of a, what do they call that, carte blanche access? Is that what it would be?
Well, apparently, these guys go way back, Sam.
Yes. And, him and Rupert Murdoch and him and George Soros and the Donald and a lot of people, right, Karen?
Good point.
It's no wonder we can't get any of our guys in with the likes of a Jared Kushner and a Rupert Murdoch and a George Soros in your back pocket. I don't know. You know, you think they'd let a Sam Bushman or a Richard Mack or a David A. Clark Jr. or any of our buddies in there?
We're not in the inner circle, I can tell you that.
Anyway, that concerns me greatly. Now, some would say, no, Sam, that's not a concern. If you're in the business world, you're friends with everybody. That doesn't mean anything. And I'm going to come back and talk a little bit about the company you keep, you know, a little bit about, you know, he meets with Henry Kissinger, he meets with George Soros, he meets with Rupert Murdoch, he meets with Jared Kushner. All these people, none of these people have our interests at heart, Kurt. So sure, I'm not here to attack Donald, but I am here to be concerned about the company that he's keeping.
Yeah. Good point.
All right. Did you hear that Mike Lee and Rand Paul both voted no? They did vote to shut down the government, Kurt?
No, I didn't, Sam. But
how come you haven't heard that? That should be top news.
Good point.
Do you want to know why they did, Kurt?
Well, they figured it was a done deal anyway, or what?
No, I don't think so. I think that both of those guys are genuine. I think they just believe we're spending too much, and we need to stimulate a debate about spending. I don't think they just did it for brownie points. I believe they actually believed in what they were doing because they didn't get any coverage. I'll tell you that. But I think they're right on that. We need to stimulate a very serious debate about cutting spending now. We've cut taxes. That's great. We could probably cut taxes even more if we want to work on the spending side for a bit and then say, hey, things are so good, we can cut taxes even more.
But they don't even use, you know, wouldn't it be cool if they just used Mrs. Trump as the poster girl, I guess, for this whole, effort. And they'd say, look, Mrs. Obama spent this much and Mrs. Trump is doing a great job and she spent only 39% of the, you know, former president's wife, and we here in all these areas of Congress, we just recommend you guys see if you can follow the president's wife, see if you can do that. It would be a challenge for him, and it'd be kind of cool, I think.
It'd be super cool, and you can talk to Rand about that when you call him. Oh, you can't get a hold of Rand?
Good point.
I know it. I hear you. It's tough. But I bring that all up, though, to say, hey, it's interesting that Rupert can get a hold of Donald every week and get a hold of Jared Kushner every week, bypass, the screeners at the White House. You and I can't even get a hold of our, quote, friends. What's up with that? Does that concern you at all, my fellow Americans? It concerns me greatly. The idea would be, oh, Sam, your friends are just too busy. Okay. Donald's not too busy for Rupert. Hey, who would be more busy than the President of the United States, huh? Just wondering. All right. We declare this nation shall endure. Donate today at LibertyRoundtable.com.